First, Republicans fared worse than expected in this year's midterms, with predictions of a red wave that didn't pan out. There are lots of different explanations for why that is. Many political watchers, including some Republicans, point to the poor performance of candidates who denied the results of the 2020 election and were backed by former President Donald Trump. Our next guest says the GOP needs to reject conspiracies and falsehoods and wants to see the party he was part of for 6 years in Congress make a commitment to principles and the Constitution. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What messages, if any, do you see in this year's midterm election results? Did you feel in some ways like democracy was on the ballot? If you are a Republican yourself or generally lean Republican, what do you want to see next from the party with its control of the House in future elections? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Reed Ribbles, a former Republican U.S. representative from Sherwood who represented Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District, that includes Green Bay. He retired from that office in 2017. Representative Ribble, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Rob, it's good to be with you.
A lot of people out there with thoughts on why the red wave didn't quite pan out around the country. What was on your mind in the days following the election?
Well, I think the election actually panned out about the way that I saw it. I had tweeted a couple of weeks before the election, and I didn't see a red wave actually forming, in part because I think that a lot of the Trump candidates, endorsed candidates in the primary, were great for the Republican base, but horrible for general elections. And I think that ended up being the case. And we particularly saw that in the state of Pennsylvania, where you had a Republican governor candidate who just tanked both in the polls and in the election. And the Democrat governor candidate pulled the Democrat Senate candidate through the process.
What does that mean for the future of the Republican Party? What do you want to see the party do in response to those outcomes?
Well, I think they have to really, they have to be honest with themselves and have to do an audit to figure out why they're losing suburban voters, in particular suburban women, and also younger voters. Gen Z, for example, went heavily toward the Democrats. And Republicans have to ask themselves, are we actually campaigning on ideas that matter, or do we need to change direction? And I think the answer is populism is not popular, and they need to change directions. I mean, that's only going to happen if they're honest with themselves.
If I'm a Republican running for office with the possibility of a primary, that might be a tough message for me. I might do better in a general election if I do what you're saying. I might not win a primary if I do what you're saying and offend a significant part of the party base. What would you tell a candidate who came to you for advice if they were having those feelings?
I think that you can be honest without being hateful. And so the idea that you reject everything that Republicans have done, or you get on radio or in your advertising and public speeches demonizing President Trump, I don't think that that's necessarily the right approach. I think we can look at what Governor Youngkin did in Virginia as a model, where he just kind of ignored Trump. He never made it part of the discussion in his campaigns. He didn't invite the president to come and campaign with him. And as a result of that, he won the election based on ideas and policy rather than personality. And I think that was smart. And that's how I would advise any candidate running tomorrow.
On issues, what do you want to see from the Republican Party?
You know, I think they have to actually govern in the way that they campaigned. And what I mean by that is they have to stop talking about investigations and Hunter Biden, for God's sake. They just have to get rid of all that nonsense. And they have to deal with what people said that matters to them. They don't like paying, you know, $3 to $4 a gallon for gasoline. They don't like the fact that their grocery bill has gone up 25%. I think this issue of inflation really matters to people, because everything costs more and it's stretching voters thin. And I think they should focus on issues of economics. And I also think that the issue of crime is important, and they need to try to figure out what they can do from a policy standpoint to begin to reduce crime in our major metropolitan areas. And if they would do that, they would be able to pull some of those suburban women back into the fold.
We've seen tweets from Republican House leadership and press conferences and announcements saying Hunter Biden investigations are on the way. What are you watching for there? What are your reactions when you see that?
I think that's all going to tank in the public. The fact of the matter is most Americans are not interested in what the president's children do. And the problem I have with this whole thing, Rob, is that if Republicans all lean into this Hunter Biden thing, what's going to happen as soon as Democrats take over? They're going to go after Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner and Don Jr. and Eric Jr. And you're never going to end. And the fact of the matter is we ought to judge presidents based on what presidents do and the policies that they bring to the forefront and whether they're taking care of roads and bridges and the things that really matter to the voter. And I will tell you that Hunter Biden doesn't resonate with a lot of Republican voters. That's why they didn't campaign on it. They campaigned on crime and inflation. But the minute they won, the first thing they talked about was Hunter Biden. It's ridiculous, and it's going to be damaging to them.
Talking to Reid Ribble, former Republican congressman from Wisconsin, looking at the future of the Republican Party. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. I wonder if you share my excitement. The Republican National Convention is coming to Milwaukee in 2024. We now have more elected Republicans in Congress than we've had in a long time. And in a generation up here in northern Wisconsin, we got three elected Republican representatives in the Assembly and the Senate. The Republican Party was started in Ripon, Wisconsin, 1854. Aren't we in a position to renew and refresh our political agenda here?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And if leadership in the state of Wisconsin, in both the Senate and the Assembly, would focus on the things that matter to Wisconsin voters, they would be in a good position. And I was encouraged by the fact that Robin Voss met with Governor Evers recently. I think that that's a step forward. The fact of the matter is Wisconsin has done what Wisconsin does. They're a bit schizophrenic in how they vote, right? They put a Democrat governor in charge, but then they continue to put Republicans in charge of the legislative body. And so the citizens are saying, we want you to work together for the good of the citizens of Wisconsin. And I hope they do that by watching what they're doing with taxation, fixing the roads and bridges in the state, getting broadband available in rural Wisconsin. Those would be things that would really help them along the way and also help Wisconsin citizens.
Jeff, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. You mentioned that brief, I think, Voss-Evers meeting. Republicans and Democrats in Wisconsin state government not playing well together much lately. Same goes for Congress. Do you see areas where you think cooperation is possible and maybe even likely?
I think at the state level, sure. And the state level's always had a bit more comity in it than the federal level has. And so I think there are some opportunities. I just mentioned a couple with infrastructure and broadband, also crime. There's not a lot that Governor Evers can do about or the Assembly can do about inflation. At the federal level, certainly if they would expand leases and the production of energy in the U.S., I think that would help pull some gasoline prices down and home heating and natural gas prices down. All those things would help. But at the federal level, I just don't see it. I think that it's going to be chaos for another 2 years with hardly anything getting done. With one exception, Rob, I think it's possible that they could get something done on immigration reform because the crisis at the border is real. And the fact that employers cannot find enough workers is real. And there's an opportunity for bipartisan reform to happen there.
We're talking to Reid Ribble, former Republican member of Congress who represented Wisconsin's 8th district until 2017. With us today to reflect on this year's midterm election results, what they mean for the future of the Republican Party here in Wisconsin and elsewhere. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a midterm election lesson that you think Republicans should follow, whether you are a Republican or not? What questions do you have for former Representative Ribble about the current state of the party and American and Wisconsin politics? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about the future of the Republican Party. After Republicans did not as well as expected in this year's midterm elections, former Republican U.S. Representative Reid Ribble stays with us, and you could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions for our guest. If you are a Republican in particular, what are you hoping to see or hear from your party? 800-642-1234 is the number. Back to your calls. Rebecca is with us in Mineral Point. Rebecca, hi.
Hi, good afternoon.
What did you want to bring up, Rebecca?
Well, for Mr. Ribble, I am finding it a very good conversation. I'm an independent voter, and I'm enjoying listening to his comments. But my question is, he mentioned that Wisconsin elected a Democratic governor, and yet our state legislature is overly Republican, and that he says that that means we want them to work together. But my question is, when our state is gerrymandered, that it's near impossible in some areas to elect a Democrat. How can that be? How is he reading that? I'm confused. So I'll take my answer off the air.
Rebecca, thanks for calling. Gerrymandered, I think, is the word that was cut off by your phone line.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, thanks, Rebecca. I mean, you're right in one regard that the districts are gerrymandered, but in reality, if you look at the overall county map of the state of Wisconsin, almost all the rural areas are Republican and red, and the more urban, suburban, exurban areas are Democratic. It's very difficult to draw maps in a state like Wisconsin, where the population is so densely compacted in Milwaukee and Madison, Green Bay, cities like that, and draw a district that will pull those blue voters, because they're compacted, they're too densely populated, and people have a tendency to move to where they have affinity with other people. So Republicans have a tendency to move to rural areas, and Democrats have a tendency to move to urban areas. And it would be almost impossible to draw a map in the state of Wisconsin that would not have the same divide. You could maybe pull some blue areas down and some red areas down and make them more blue, but you wouldn't be able to draw a map that I think would change much of the nature of the state assembly, for sure. Maybe more impact on the state Senate. But just by virtue of where people live in Wisconsin, it'd be very difficult to draw a map that didn't result in a Republican assembly.
Thanks for that call. When I've talked to the numbers people on that, they agree there is a natural gerrymander, as you're talking about, Representative Ribble. But the way the lines were drawn magnify that some and make it almost as easy for Republicans to get a supermajority in the assembly as Democrats to get a narrow majority in the assembly. There's a little of both going on, right?
I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, political parties are going to do that. And if you lived in Illinois, like I did for a few years, you would see the inverse of that, where the Democrats are basically drawing districts to eliminate Republican seats entirely. Adam Kinzinger, for example, his seat was eliminated, and he was one of the more pragmatic members of the Illinois delegation. And so you would think they would have gerrymandered out one of the more hard right guys in Southern Illinois, but they couldn't do it because of the way the voters that live and kind of separate themselves. But I don't disagree with you, Rob. It's been gerrymandered, and I would prefer that voters pick their candidates or their elected officials rather than the inverse.
Thanks again for that call. Bill joins us now in Waupaca. Bill, hi.
Hello, Representative Ribble. I was one of your constituents when you were in Congress, and I think you earn the respect of both Democrats and Republicans when you were in Congress. So my question is, I think it could win if you entered the governor's race. What are your thoughts on that?
Bill, I appreciate that. That's a really kind thing to say. But when I left Congress, I told people that my primary purpose in leaving was to spend more time with my grandchildren, who I've got a 1-year-old all the way to a 19-year-old that's studying at the University of Alabama. And I wanted to be closer to them, and they live in Tennessee, and I spend the bulk of my time down in Tennessee, so I can be closer to them. And so I think my time has come and gone for being an elected official, but I can have some opportunity to weigh in on things and try to balance things out by having conversations like I'm having with Rob and with you today.
Bill, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Now, Bill used a phrase there, Representative Ribble, you know, respected by Democrats and Republicans, and he said it like it was a good thing. I think there's a lot of people in either party who would take that as an insult. If you're respected by the other party, you must be doing something wrong.
Well, exactly. And I heard that all the time. I had about, I would often say I've got 10% of my voters screaming at me in the right ear and 10% of my voters screaming at me in my left ear. And the 80%, those people who actually really liked what I was doing, they just went about their business. They went to work. They watched their kids play soccer and go to concerts, and they lived their lives. And they told me, you know, Congressman, I just want you to deal with those issues, and you make the best judgment you can. And by being more pragmatic, I think the voters in the broad swipe, both across party lines, appreciated the work that I did.
Talking to former congressional representative from Wisconsin, Reid Ribble, about the future of the Republican Party and American politics, Wisconsin politics more generally. Back to your calls now. Jeff is with us in Door County. Jeff, hi.
Yeah, hi. Great topic. I appreciate what he's saying about crossing the aisle and getting back to business to do what the people want. But I am a little concerned about some of the rhetoric, like the price of gas. I just paid $3 for a tank for a gallon of gas. So, and gas isn't controlled by the president that's sitting. And the thing about crime is up in the inner city. It's not up in the suburbs. And these talking points are being driven by our representatives.
Jeff, thanks for the call. I think we lost Jeff at the end of that sentence. Yeah. There, Representative Ribble, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I appreciate what he's saying. And the idea that gas isn't controlled by the president is partially accurate. But it's only partially so. All gasoline is priced based on global supply of oil. And so obviously if the Saudis if Russia reduces the supply, it's going to shove the price up. But that doesn't mean that the country with the most oil, which is us, couldn't increase productivity and expand our production, expand refineries. But it takes years and years and years just to get a permit to build a refinery in the United States today. And so there are policy things that we could do. And I don't think he's wrong regarding crime in that if you lived in rural Wisconsin, you're probably not too concerned about it. But if we were having a caller call us from the inner city of Milwaukee, they would be very concerned about it. And so it just depends on where you live and the ideas that impact you. And so I partially agree with Jeff, but I partially disagree.
Thanks again for that call. Something that I think about a lot is in Congress in particular, I think it seems like the incentive structure is to not cooperate with the other party, to not look for that compromise, the common ground, appeal to the base, not move toward moderation. Do you see that? Do you see that as a problem? If so, what could be done about it?
Yeah, it's absolutely a problem. However, I do think that depending on how you talk to people, how you conduct yourself, What most people want is they want government to work. I did hear from Republican constituents that I was playing too nicely with the Democrats. But at the end of the day, when you really had a chance to sit down and talk with them and kind of dig a little bit deeper, what they wanted was they did want government to actually work. They just didn't appreciate the policy reforms or the compromises that might have to happen to get to a bipartisan agreement. And I heard often, don't compromise your principles. And my response to that is, I'll guarantee you that I will never compromise a principle, but you must allow me to seek a principled compromise. And when you would talk with people in the right manner and you wouldn't demonize someone for how they felt about something, you were able to find you were able to find common ground with even the hard right or hard left.
Now, our next conversation on the show today is going to be about how the midterm elections were managed, and possible changes in the future. You've written about claims of election wrongdoing over the last couple of elections. Can you share some of your thoughts as you've watched, especially the Republican Party on these issues?
Yeah, we don't really have an election integrity problem in the country. Never have had. There's always been instances of fraud, and there's been some fraud that's taken place. I think you can always find it, but it's really, really in the fringes, and it's a very small number. And so, first of all, we have to stop telling people that we've got all this election integrity problem because we don't. And that's just the harsh reality of it. And what we have to realize is that in all those thousands of precincts across the state of Wisconsin, they're typically manned and votes are typically counted by volunteers, mostly senior citizens, Democrats and Republicans alike, who just want to do a public service. This our elections are governed by our neighbors. And I would just encourage people to trust your neighbor. If you don't trust government officials, at least trust them. And we can build some confidence back in our elections, because our elections are fair and they're being managed in a positive way. That doesn't mean we can't do better, but they're not horrible.
We've seen in Wisconsin, we had a Republican candidate for governor who ran kind of against the election system, finished a very distant third place. Former President Trump tried to support a primary challenge to Robin Voss because Voss wouldn't support Trump's election claims. Voss will still be the speaker. Are you encouraged by some of the signs you've seen here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, because I think Wisconsinites are pretty pragmatic folks. When you kind of get underneath all the layers of partisanship, they're a pragmatic group. And so I am encouraged by that.
Representative Ribble, thanks again for joining us today.
Hey, great to be with you, Rob. Thank you.
That's Reid Ribble, former Republican U.S. representative who represented Wisconsin's 8th House District. He was with us today to reflect on this year's midterm elections, what the results could mean for the future direction of the Republican Party.